Who knows better about surprise than Japan? Okay? Why didn't you tell me about Pearl Harbor? Okay? Right? You know, he's asking me, now you believe in surprise, I think much more so than us. And we had to surprise him, and we did. And because of that surprise, we knocked out, the first 2 days, we probably knocked out 50% of what we, and much more than we anticipated doing. So if I go and tell everybody about it, there's no longer a surprise.
This is my video update on this Friday afternoon, March the 20th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the operation to open up the Strait of Hormuz. And the military operation has started, according to various reports. The U.S. military is hitting targets around the strait. They are knocking out military installations that are being used to take out tankers or to threaten tankers that are trying to cross the strait. This part of the operation will take about 2 weeks. And then after the targets have been knocked out, you will get the Marines and the ground troops, and they will secure the area. You will also get additional ground forces to the Marines who will take over various islands in the area, maybe even Karg Island. And that is going to take an additional 2 to 3 weeks. So the whole operation could take 4, 5, 6 weeks. And that's what we know about the operation to open up the Strait of Hormuz. And I imagine there will be considerable losses. This type of operation, if this is indeed what is going to take place, is very high risk. But the Trump administration, they feel that they can bring an end to this war, bring an end to the regime if they capture and secure the Strait of Hormuz. That is the key, at least for the Trump administration, to winning this war, capturing the Strait of Hormuz. So all the focus is there. All right. So let's quickly talk about Japanese Prime Minister Takaichi, who was in D.C. visiting Trump at the White House. This meeting did not go well. For Japan, for Takaichi, this was very, very embarrassing, a very embarrassing trip for her to make to the United States to meet with Donald Trump. Before she went to the U.S., the Japanese people were very much against her visiting Trump, especially now that we have the war against Iran. The latest polling shows that around 73% of the Japanese public is absolutely against this war. They do not think favorably of Donald J. Trump. But Takaichi, she decided to go, and it did not go well. It did not go well at all. Trump brought up Pearl Harbor when a reporter asked the U.S. president why he did not inform any of the allies about the war with Iran, attacking Iran. Trump said, we wanted surprise. Who knows better about surprise than Japan? Why didn't you tell me about Pearl Harbor? And he went on. And you could see Takaichi's face, visibly see the humiliation in her facial expressions. She was so uncomfortable as Trump was saying this.
One question. Why didn't you tell U.S. allies in Europe and Asia, like Japan, about the war before attacking Iran? So we are very confused about we Japanese citizens.
Well, one thing, you don't want to signal too much. You know, when we go in, we went in very hard, and we didn't tell anybody about it because we wanted surprise. Who knows better about surprise than Japan? Okay? Why didn't you tell me about Pearl Harbor? Okay? Right? You know, he's asking me, do you believe in surprise? I think much more so than us. And we had to surprise him, and we did. And because of that surprise, we knocked out, the first 2 days, we probably knocked out 50% of what we, and much more than we anticipated doing. So if I go and tell everybody about it, there's no longer a surprise.
It didn't get much better after the Oval Office meeting, to be quite honest. Trump showed her the photographs that he has in the White House of all of the presidents. And he ended up, she saw the photo of Biden, which is the auto pen. So she saw the auto pen photo for President Joe Biden. She laughed. She laughed when she saw that photo. I believe she laughed at how ridiculous it was that the president put up a photo of Biden as an auto pen. I don't think she laughed in the sense that she found it funny. I think she laughed in the sense that this is nuts. But anyway, who knows? Maybe she found it funny. And she ended up giving Trump money. Lots of money for a nuclear deal and other investments in the United States. So Trump humiliated her and he got money out of it. Takaichi's approval ratings continue to go down. Prime Minister Takaichi's approval rating has plummeted from a record high of 79.5% to 56%, with disapproval skyrocketing from 15% to 35.9%. This comes after she refused to establish a cap on immigration despite winning a supermajority on an anti-immigration platform. So probably not the best move going to the United States to visit Trump at a time of war, a very unpopular war in Japan. So Besant and Hegseth. Besant and Hegseth. Takaichi said that she's going to provide support, some sort of support for the Trump administration as well, with regards to the Strait of Hormuz. I'm not quite sure what she meant by that. I don't know. Can we include her in the coalition? Can we include Japan in the coalition of Hormuz? Or not. I'm not sure, not certain. I guess it still remains the United States, Israel, and Estonia. It's all you need. All you needed is Estonia. That's all you needed in the coalition of Hormuz. So let's get back to Besant. Besant and Hegseth. Oh, Scott Besant. Scott Besant. Should I just play you the video? Should I just play the video of Scott Besant laying out the plan, the 10D chess plan that the Trump White House has put together with the Strait of Hormuz? They anticipated, according to Besant, that Iran was going to close the strait, and so they already had it planned to unsanction the Russian oil. So that was already part of the plan, and that was enough oil to keep the price of oil down, to suppress the price of oil for a good 10 to 15 days. And then they had the plan, the master plan, the 10D chess move to also possibly, this is not final, but possibly unsanction Iranian oil, as best it describes it. It's a break the glass moment. we had the plan to break the glass in case of emergency. Break glass. So breaking the glass is unsanctioning Iranian oil, which is at sea, which will also provide another 10 days of oil to the market. Got to keep that oil price down. The Trump administration is just trying to buy days, just trying to find ways to gain time. Unsanctioned Russian oil, that's 10 days. Unsanctioned Iranian oil, that's another 10 days. We've just bought ourselves 20 days of trying to keep that price of oil under 100. 20 more days to figure out how we got into this mess and what we're going to do to get out of this mess. We'll try to take some islands, Karg Island. That'll help. We'll try to militarily capture the Strait of Hormuz. We need 2 to 4 weeks. Unsanction the Russian oil, unsanction the Iranian oil. That'll give us the time that we need. So yeah, Scott Bessent was talking about the master 10D chess move, which is to use Iran's oil against them. Iran, you thought you're going to close the Strait of Hormuz. You thought that was going to send oil prices skyrocketing. Well, we've got an even better move. We're going to unsanction the oil that we've been sanctioning, and we're going to use that oil against you. We're going to use your own oil against you. Checkmate. Booyah. Yeah. We're winning. We are winning. Let me play the video.
We had a break the glass plan across the administration and at Treasury. We unsanctioned Russian oil. We knew that there were about 130 million barrels on the water, and we created supply that is beyond the Straits of Hormuz. So we anticipated this. We knew that there could be a temporary, and I want to emphasize temporary, choke point there. And there was 130 million barrels of floating storage. In the coming days, we may unsanction the Iranian oil that's on the water. It's about 140 million barrels. So depending on how you count it, that's 10 days to 2 weeks of supply that the Iranians had been pushing out. That would have all gone to China. In essence, we will be using the Iranian barrels against the Iranians to keep the price down for the next 10 or 14 days as we continue this campaign.
Pretty unbelievable statement from Scott Bessent. Huh? They have no plan. They're making it up as this war goes along, trying to figure out ways to buy time. Unsanctioned oil, that'll give us time. Unsanctioned Iranian oil. And people thought the unsanctioning of Russian oil, the collective West vassals of the United States, they were furious about the unsanctioning of Russian oil. And now they're going to have the unsanctioning of Iranian oil. I love the way Bessent sells it. I love the way he tries to sell it. As if they had this planned all along. This was all part of the plan. We knew this was coming. So Hegseth, he gave his briefing yesterday. I talked about this in my video update yesterday. But during his military briefing, Hegseth said that the radical ideology of Iran, the regime's radical ideology, spends their money. They should be very rich on oil and energy, but they prefer to spend the money on weapons instead of spending that money on their people. let me play you the video.
To that point on capabilities, you know, Iran is an energy rich country, could be, should be. Instead, like so many other places driven by a radical ideology, they've spent that money instead of investing in their people. And that's why you had millions of Iranians protesting, because they felt like their condition, quality of life didn't match what it could be or should be. And what was the Iranian state? There's a reason we call Iran the number one state sponsor of terrorism, because they took the money they make and they invest it in tunnels, and they invest it in missiles, and they invest it in launchers and UAVs. And we are destroying and degrading that in historic proportions.
I can't figure out what other country is spending the money of the people on the MIC. Just can't figure out what other country does such a thing. Anyway, I'm sure it'll come to me. So an F-35 allegedly was shot down, which is significant. An F-35 shot down, probably by Iran. U.S. F-35 damaged by suspected Iranian fire makes emergency landing, sources say. A U.S. F-35 jet made an emergency landing at a U.S. airbase in the Middle East after it was struck by what is believed to be Iranian fire, according to two sources familiar with the matter. An F-35. I thought Iran had no more military left. They had no air defense, no missiles, no nothing. Thought everything had been obliterated. If everything had been obliterated, then the opening up of the Strait of Hormuz should be pretty straightforward. Straight, you see, straight. Opening up the Strait of Hormuz should be very straightforward. We got a message from a few of the U.S. allies saying that they're going to support the United States in this war. They didn't get into the specifics as to what they're going to do to support the United States in this war. They condemned Iran, and they expressed their readiness to contribute appropriate efforts to ensure safe passage through the Strait of Hormuz. The countries are the UK, France, Germany, Italy, Netherlands, and Japan. So Trump got a statement. Can we include them in the coalition now or not? Let's include them in the coalition, even though they're not going to be able to make much of a difference militarily. Let's include them in the coalition. Or maybe not. Maybe we should not include them in the coalition because Macron, as this statement was pushed out, he said that France is not going to get involved militarily. Nope, France has no interest to take on military operations assisting the U.S. military in this war with Iran. So let's not include these countries in the coalition just yet. Definitely France should not be included in the coalition. At least they issued a statement. That's got to count for something. I like it. I like those statements. The CEO of Germany's Rheinmetall, he said that the collective West is going to be out of missiles. If they keep on firing missiles at this rate, then they will be out in a matter of weeks. Demilitarized. CEO Armin Papinger, if the war in Iran lasts another month, I think we will nearly have no missiles available. I think that at the moment, all European, American, and also Middle East stocks are empty or nearly empty. Russia's demilitarization of the collective West from 4 years of war with the collective West in Project Ukraine appears to have worked. Because according to the CEO of Rheinmetall, the collective West has maybe one more month left. One more month. They've been using up a lot of firepower going after Iran. But the foundation of the demilitarization, no doubt about it, was 4 years of the war in Ukraine. And they were telling us that Russia was running out of weapons. Russia had to use shovels and washing machine ships. Tatters. So the CEO of Rheinmetall, finally telling the truth as to what the situation is with regards to stockpiles and weapons. I think Rheinmetall has some sort of a contract with Ukraine, don't they? Or didn't they? We're going to build some sort of military production facilities in Ukraine. Wasn't the CEO of Rheinmetall talking about that about a year ago? And then they decided that it might be too dangerous to have the facilities in Ukraine, so they're going to move the facilities somewhere in Europe. I guess those facilities haven't started up yet. They haven't started their production yet. I just remember the CEO of Rheinmetall talking about that. Rheinmetall stock over the past few years has gone way up. Whoever invested in Rheinmetall during the conflict in Ukraine made a lot of money. You know who else is making money? Iran. They're making money because they are charging tariffs, Liberation Day tariffs. You see, Iran and Trump are really not that different. Trump likes tariffs. Iran likes tariffs. Iran's charging fees for tankers to cross the Strait of Hormuz. Financial Times is reporting that one shipping company has paid Iran $2 million so it can pass the Strait of Hormuz. $2 million. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that Saudi Arabia is signaling $180 oil. $180, maybe even $200 if this war goes past April, if it continues past April, $180 and maybe even $200 oil. Saudi Arabia sees a spike to $180 oil if energy shock persists past April. From Axios, Trump mulls risky Karg Island takeover to force Iran to open strait. Capture Karg, open the strait. You see, that's the plan. Let me show you the plan, everybody. Let me show you the plan. This is Karg Island. We capture Karg. We open up the strait. So we got to capture Karg, and then we get the strait. Or maybe we take the strait, and then we get Karg. Or maybe we take both. Take the strait and Karg. And then we can declare victory. Sounds crazy. But here we are. Maybe Trump will pull it off. Maybe the U.S. military will pull it off. Maybe they do capture Karg. And they can capture the Strait of Hormuz. Could happen. Qatar LNG is going to go offline, and this is going to hurt Belgium and Italy. Force majeure is what is going to be declared by Qatar. And the biggest losers, Italy and Belgium. They're going to lose big time from the lack of Qatar LNG. If only Europe had a country that was next to them. Maybe a country that had a pipeline that was right next to them. Right next to them. If they had a country that made a lot of natural gas. If only they had that. Then they wouldn't worry so much about Qatar LNG. Europe's insistence that it isn't facing an energy supply crisis took a blow today when Qatar warned it would have to scrap contracts with Italy and Belgium following a massive Iranian attack. Ah, Meloni. Giorgia Meloni. Now you see why Bart De Wever is going on and on about talking with Russia, huh? He's going to have an LNG problem. He's going to have a gas problem. I got a gas problem. Bart De Wever, I got a gas problem. Yeah, he's going to have a gas problem. That's why he's talking about negotiations with Russia. He sees the writing on the wall, as does Orban. Orban, he told the Europeans yesterday at the EU meeting, told the media yesterday that Europe is going to realize that they're not going to be able to deal with this energy crisis without Russia. They're going to need Russia if they want to deal with this energy crisis, if they want to find a way out of this energy crisis. If Europe wants to survive this energy squeeze, they're going to need to talk to Russia. That's what Arbonne said. Without Russia, Europe is cooked. The EU is cooked without Russia. That is what Orban said. And what was Ursula's response to all of this? We are not going to lift any sanctions against Russian oil and Russian energy. No way. Not going to do it. The United States is lifting oil. They've lifted sanctions on Russian oil. And they're even thinking about lifting sanctions on Iranian oil. This is how desperate Scott Bessent has become, that he's even thinking about lifting sanctions on Iranian oil. And Ursula and the Europeans, and the U.S. has a ton of oil and gas. But Ursula, Kaya Kallas, nope. They are not going to lift any sanctions. There is no turning back. The what's that guy's name? Wright's the Commerce Secretary. I believe he's the Commerce Secretary. He said that the Trump White House is not thinking about possibly cutting off energy exports if this war continues and if things get really bad in the energy markets. I wonder if I bookmarked this statement from Secretary Wright. We've said this on the Duran. We warned about this on the Duran about 3 months ago. Here it is. And actually talked about this 1 week ago, didn't I? I said that Europe is now fully dependent on the United States, given everything that's happening in the Middle East. Now we have Qatar declaring force majeure. And I said the Europeans are 100% dependent on the United States. You watch. One day Trump is going to wake up. One morning he's going to wake up if this war continues, and he's going to say, you know what? I got to halt exports, energy exports. Then what does Europe do? Here's the message from Secretary Chris Wright. Thanks to POTUS, the United States is the world's top oil and natural gas producer. We are also the largest natural gas exporter and a top oil exporter. To be clear, oh boy, when they say that, the Trump administration has no plan to implement restrictions on oil and gas exports. Oh boy, when they say to be clear, it's the exact opposite. It is the exact opposite that's going on. Just the fact that he said this and that he posted this on X is proof that they are talking about it and that they're considering it and that it's in the discussion. To be clear, we are not going to put any restrictions on oil and gas exports, to be clear. Is there anyone in Brussels watching this video or reading these messages? Because if there's anyone in Brussels that is watching this video and reading that post on X, you better sound the freaking alarm bells. You better get on a plane and go to Moscow, like today, right now. Get on a plane right now and go to Moscow. Because if this conflict continues, if Trump's plan to take the Strait of Hormuz and to take Karg Island and to take all the other islands, if that plan fails and this war continues to grind on, you watch. They're going to restrict exports of oil and gas, the Trump administration. That is going to crush Europe. So that's Orban's warning. Orban is warning everybody. So Europe, they're very upset with Orban, not only for his warnings, but they're very upset because he blocked the $90 billion gift to Le Gobelin Vert during the meeting yesterday in Brussels. Orbán held firm. No oil from the Druzhba, then no 90 billion, no approval for the 90 billion. No 90 billion for you. That is what Orbán said. He held firm. So Politico is saying that the European Union, the way they're going to deal with Orbán is they're just going to wait him out. That's what they're going to do. Wait him out. Got an election in a couple of weeks. The EU feels that Magyar, their globalist puppet candidate opposition, their globalist puppet opposition, that they're really working hard to get him to win. They feel that he's ahead in the polls and he will win. And then once he wins, all the headaches are gone. The Orbán headaches are gone. How unacceptable. Orbán defeated the EU again, but maybe for the final time. Europe's longest serving leader won the fight over Ukraine's 90 billion. By the next summit, he could be a distant memory. Macron, he seized another Russian shadow fleet tanker, which was leaving Russia. It wasn't under the Russian flag, to be fair. I believe it was under a Mozambique flag, but it was in the Mediterranean, I want to say. And Macron seized the shadow fleet tanker, and France put out a statement saying that that while there is a war in the Middle East, it doesn't mean that France is not going after the Russian shadow fleet, that they're not enforcing their embargo, their blockade, their seizing of Russian energy assets at sea. That's what I want to say. They haven't stopped. They haven't stopped going after the shadow fleet. Shadow fleet tankers heading towards Karg Island. It's like a movie, Shadow Fleet on the way to Karg Island, starring Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow. So Russia's response to Macron seizing a tanker, even though it was not under a Russian flag, it was leaving a port in Russia. I imagine that Russia's response is going to be a very strongly worded statement. Don't you do that again, Macron. They might even call in the French ambassador and give him a note. We're very upset with you. Here's a note which shows that we're upset with you, Mr. French ambassador to Moscow. Let's do a clown world, and we can wrap up this video. So, today's clown world. Stunning and brave, Kaya Kallas was speaking behind a closed door, at a closed door session, to the other EU cool kids. And Kaya Kallas, according to Politico, she said that as she was talking about the war in the Middle East and what is the EU going to do about what is happening with the Strait of Hormuz and the energy situation and the war in the Middle East. And they're already having to deal with Russia and Project Ukraine. And Kaya Kallas said, war is like a love affair. Easy to get in, hard to get out. This is not a joke. I'm not making this up. I promise you, not making this up. Starting war is like a love affair. It's easy to get in and difficult to get out. She said, according to two diplomats briefed by leaders on the closed door talks, which are only attended by presidents and prime ministers. The top diplomat in all of Europe. Well said, Kaya Kallas. Well said. Yes, yes. War is like a love affair. It's easy to get in. It's hard to get out. easy to get in. Very easy to get in. Super easy to get in. It's difficult to get out. I will end the video there. Duran.locals.com. We are on Rumble and X and Telegram. Duran Shop, 30% off all kinds of merch on the Duran Shop, so definitely check it out. We're on Substack as well. Give this video a like if you want to subscribe. That would be cool. Share this video. That helps with the YouTube algorithms, or at least that's what YouTube tells me. Personally, I don't think it makes any difference whatsoever. But please share the video. And who knows? Maybe I'll pick up a couple of subscribers here and there. Anyway, I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.